Luke chapter number 15 this morning. Luke chapter number 15. This week, the children learned the main verse was Psalms 23. The Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. So this week, we're going to look at the seeking shepherd. And wasn't that a blessing to see these kids come up here and sing? And I don't know about you, but that does something to your soul, doesn't it? That's a good Southern term, does something to your soul. So I figured with a pig roast and everything, we can have a little Southern. We have a couple of special people with us. William Blimka is with us this morning, so make sure that you... I'm glad to have him here. Also, we have Cora Thomas after this. Glad to be out of that room. Yeah, she's been in the hospital. How many days?
3 weeks.
3 weeks she's been in the hospital. So she's 3 weeks and 4 days. So I know Mama's glad to be out of the hospital, aren't you? Yeah. And also we, sticking with our pig roast and Southern theme, we brought in a pastor from Texas. So the McNeely family also came up with us. Cody, you want to stand up? He came in the middle of the busiest week, and we got him unpacked, and so wife's Alyssa's downstairs serving, jumped. They got her working early, so he's ready, anxious to jump right in. So, oh, she's in the back. Oh, all right. Is there an issue? No, just kidding. make him nervous. He's got to get used to me. I've been teasing him all week, and he's got to get used to me teasing him. So, all right, Luke chapter number 15, begin reading in verse number 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we gather together here, Lord, we are desiring your presence. Lord, we claim your promises where they are gathered together. You're in the midst of them. Father, we are here, Lord, for you. Father, meeting here is absolutely pointless if we don't meet with you. Father, we gather here to sit at your feet, to learn from your word. Father, I pray that you would remove me. Father, that you would remove my thoughts, my desires, and Father, that it would just be a mouthpiece for what you desire to say to your people, Lord. Father, I pray that everything that is done here today is done for your glory alone. Father, I pray that you would enable me with the power of your Spirit to proclaim the truths of your word for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's interesting, just a little background here. My heart just absolutely loves verse number 1. Do you see the type of crowd that Jesus drew every time he began his public ministry? He began to speak, and you know who came to hear him? The sinners. Jesus would speak the words of life, and you know who was interested in hearing the words of life? Those that were needing the words of life. They were looking for something different, something that would change their lives. They were down, they were out, and they were broken in their sin. So they would hear of this man that claimed to be the Messiah, the sent one of God to take away the sins of the whole world. And it says that the sinners and the tax collectors drew near unto him. It would be like today, a man preaching God's word in every type of person with earrings, tattoos, mohawks, came to hear the words of life. Homeless, broken, the addicts. But what happened? The religious elite shows up, right? What do they begin to do? It says here, and the Pharisees and scribes, what do? They started complaining. I wonder if they were Baptist. I'm just kidding. See, you see this group of sinners, and we know from just a brief study that anyone that was a sinner or tax collector was looked down upon as cursed of God. And you're not as holy and as pious as me. Look at me. And the Pharisees and scribes, they looked down at these people who were broken, who were sinners, who knew that they were the bottom of society. And the religious crowd looked down at them and started to complain. You know that happens today, don't you? The moment sinners and broken people and the addicted and the people that are torn up by the world and the ways of life, they come to church. Oh, I can't believe he wore that. Oh, look at those tattoos. Now, Jesus, if you were a man of God, you wouldn't keep company with such a company like that. The sinners, you know, they can be really dangerous. You know what they talk about? You know what they do? Do you know what part of lifestyle they come from? And I can just hear the heartbeat of our Lord, of John 14:6. I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, we need to be very careful in religion not to lose the heartbeat of our Lord. The Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. And it says later in this chapter that heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance, over the 99 that need no repentance. Jesus came to seek that was lost, not to rejoice over the saints that think that God rejoices of them being perfect and having it all together. See, what he is saying to this religious crowd, and they don't quite understand it, we're all sheep. We forget the Bible so clearly teaches there's none righteous. No, not one. I don't care if you've been saved, going to church for 50 plus years. You are not righteous. You were still a sinner in the eyes of God. But this religious crowd didn't think so. They began to look with judgment and condemnation towards this crowd that Jesus was ministering to. And he says, let me teach you something here. Let me speak a parable to you. He says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? See, the first point I want you to see is I want you to notice the sheep. Look at in verse number 4. And what man of you, having 100 sheep? This word, the 100, is a number of completion. It's an inclusive word. I want you to understand one thing. In the beginning of this, he is taking these two people groups. One that is rejecting these sinners. And let me tell you something. If you're not acclimated to church or you're not used to going to church, don't worry. The religious crowd always oppose sinners coming to Christ. Jesus told of the religious elite, he says, you shut up the kingdom of heaven. Don't allow religious hypocrisy stop you from coming to Christ. Do you hear me? Do you understand that? Because I promise you, if you look around long enough, you will see people that are hypocrites in the church, but don't allow that to stop you from a Savior that has come to seek you. Here, he is saying to these two people groups, 100. It's like he's taking this 50 here and this 50 here, and he's saying all 100. He's taking these religious, these pious religious elites, and he's putting them in the same category with the sinners, ones they look down upon. He's saying, you are all sheep.
You're all the same. We are all sinners. The only difference between the sheep is some are lost and some are found, but we are all sheep. We have all sinned. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is not one person better than another in the sight of God. We're all equal. We're all sheep. Does that make sense? Religious crowd don't like that. Religion has the greatest cancer of people in churches thinking they're better than people and thinking they're better and higher. And can I tell you, that's not from the heart of our Lord. There's no difference. We're all sinners. We all deserve the judgment of God. We are all in need of His same mercy. We are all sheep in need of a shepherd. Secondly, verse number 4, I kind of touched on this. Having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them. See, the difference here is that what separates us from the shepherd is our sin. See, when we were born and shapen in iniquity, we were born in sin. How many of you have kids? How many of you had to teach them to do wrong? They're born that way. Trust me, I have 3 of them. I never had once to teach my kids to misbehave. They do it naturally. See, the Bible says, for all have sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. There's none that have are righteous, no, not none. We're all have fallen short of God's perfection, God's standard. We have missed the mark. We have failed because we have sinned. See, that's what he's saying. When we have strayed, or when he loses one, he's put these two people groups into one. He's saying we all have sinned. We all have strayed at one point. And let me tell you something that's funny. You know whose heart was further from God in this? Was it the religious elite or the sinners? The religious elite were the hardest of hearts, the furthest from God. But look in verse number 4. He says, if he loses just one. Do you think God notices just one? Do you think God notices you? Do you think God knows exactly where you are at? See, he has the 99 sheep over here. And I'm sure to take care of 99 sheep, it would take a lot of work, a lot of effort. But you see, the focus of the shepherd wasn't necessarily on the 99. Do you know where his mind went? It went to the one. He had the 99 here. They were safe. They were secure. He had under shepherds protecting him. The over shepherd thought, where's the one? In the context of this verse, it means that he was overly concerned about the one who went missing. Jesus has a heart that is concerned and that is passionate for the one that is lost. He knew these were righteous. He knew these were taken care of. Jesus' heart was concerned about the sheep that had strayed. He notices the one. You may think in all of this world and all of these people and all the things that God has to take his time up with, he doesn't have time for me. Can I tell you, he is concerned for the one. He is concerned about each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has a special place in the heart of God. Secondly, I heard a note. You know, I have to be on time today. My wife was in the kitchen and she sent a note. Make sure you end your sermon on time or the food will get cold. The one time I'll probably end a sermon on time. Secondly, we see the situation. These sheep, they have wandered from the shepherd. In verse number 4, he says, what man among you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one which is lost until he finds it? Where did these sheep wander to? They wandered to the wilderness, didn't they? See, many commentators agree, there's a lot of written about shepherding and sheep, why sheep would go astray, why they would wander. And many times they would take their sheep and they would shepherd them in the valley. But yet in the point of getting from valley to valley and as they move their flock, they would cross over cliffs and mountains, and up in the cliffs and mountains would grow special weeds and different type of plants that would be sweeter to the taste to the sheep. So when they would feast on the weeds and the plants in the higher elevations, they would taste better. They were greener, they were sweeter, so the sheep would get accustomed to that sweet taste. And then they would get into the valley, they would remember the plants while they were in traveling through the mountaintop. So many commentators agree that sheep would wander from the shepherd seeking the greener pastures or the better tasting plants. Isn't that the same as true with us? Isn't that how the world works? Just turn on your television for 1 second, 1 minute. You know what you see? Bud Light commercial, right? And all these people having a good time and drinking and partying and having a pool party and doing all these things. But do they ever show you the effects that alcohol has on a nation, on a people, on families? They never show you the broken homes. They never show you the kids without fathers. They never show you the aftermath of a drunk driving incident. See, they give you the mirage of a better life or a happier life, but it's just a mirage to draw you away from the shepherd. There are many people who seek after these things, and they see this mirage of a happy life of drinking or money or wealth or retirement or fancy houses. It's just a mirage. I know people. I remember when I was in North Carolina, we planted an inner city church, and I mean, there wasn't a deacon in our church that wasn't a felon. I mean, just a rough inner city church. It's kind of like that here, right, brothers? Sorry, none of our deacons are felons here, I promise you. Where was I going with that? I'm sorry. Early onset of Alzheimer's. Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you. But when we were working with the inner city, I mean, we had kids that, I remember we had Tejan, and his mom was a prostitute. And they had absolutely no furniture in their house. These kids had one blanket, one pillow, and they slept on an old wooden floor. And their mom would go out and work in the night. And understand this. But I remember when we had one guy, he was the owner of half that community. He had all the houses. And we had an old rundown church building on Buffalo Street in the middle of a rough neighborhood. I mean, getting out at Sunday night church was scary. The owner of our building came and he said, "What are you guys doing here? Why are you in this neighborhood doing this?" And I remember the guy that I pastored with, he says, "We're seeking those that Jesus cares about, or those that Jesus loves." And he goes, "Does Jesus care for me?" And it was odd. So later on, this Mel, the guy I worked with, kept a relationship with this guy. And he ended up calling Mel late at night. And you go to this guy's house, and you know what he's got? He's got one of those punch pads to get into his house. I mean, beautiful. I mean, million-dollar home. We've got the Mercedes in the garage. I mean, he's got everything on the golf course. I mean, he's got it. He's got it figured out. Mel gets into his house. In this man's life, he sees there's liquor bottles on the table. The house is destroyed. The house looks nice on the outside, but on the inside, it is absolutely destroyed. He says, "My wife has left me. I have turned to alcohol. I find no joy in that." He goes, "I am looking for some relief, and the only relief I can bring to my mind is just to end my life." And that, when he was about to end his life, is when he drove down to that church building looking for some type of relief. And Mel was the one that told him that Jesus cared about the one. He used the same exact story we're looking at. See, that life, it's just a mirage. There are people that live for wealth and live in nice houses and drink and party. It's just a mirage, is it not? It's just something that is drawing you away from a shepherd who is seeking after you. So what would happen is these sheep, They would be walking on these dangerous cliffsides in the wilderness alone, eating this sweet grass, but they would soon get themselves in trouble because many times the landscape would shift. It would get steeper and more rocky, but the sheep really weren't paying attention to how deep they got or how dangerous that situation was growing. They would just keep climbing on the cliffsides and keep climbing, weren't really paying attention until they got to a point where they couldn't save themselves. They couldn't get out. The third point I want you to see, we saw the sheep, we saw the situation. The third thing I want you to see is I want you to see the shepherd. The sheep has wandered. Wandered from the shepherd, drawn by a mirage of greener pastures. But look here, the heart of the shepherd. Look in verse number 4. When he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness? And look at this phrase, and go after. Do you see the heart of our Lord here? He is leaving the 99 because he is consumed with the sheep that has wandered far away from God. The one that has been drawn away and enticed by his own lusts. And Jesus is leaving the 99. He has stepped down from his throne in heaven. He has stepped down into the body of the man, the Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the God-man. And he has stepped into this life and he says, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost, those that have been drawn away from me. And the shepherd leaves the 99 because he knows he has lost one sheep to the wilderness, to the mirage of the world. And he knows if he does not seek after this sheep, that sheep will surely be devoured and be destroyed. So he uses this very strong language that the shepherd goes after the sheep. You know, many people tell you, and I stopped using this phrase, seek God, seek God, seek God. You ever heard that? And there's a time where we should seek God. I understand that. But in the sense of you being lost and without Christ and without the shepherd, he is seeking you. All you have to realize is the situation that you're in because there is a shepherd that is coming after you and he is relentless because of his love for you. It's a shepherd that is after the lost sheep. And let me tell you something. He uses circumstances of life to rescue you. He uses trials. He uses hardships. He uses brokenness. He uses broken relationships, broken homes. He uses the brokenness to see the distress that you are in the wilderness without him so that you would realize the situation and the danger that you are in. See, the shepherd goes after the sheep. And look at this next phrase. Let's all look at how persistent this shepherd is. And when he's in the wilderness and he goes after the one which is lost, well, look at those next four words. What does it say? Until he finds it. Do you think God's going to give up on you? Listen to me. You can harden your heart and harden your heart and resist and resist and resist all you want. But there is a shepherd. There is a God. There is a Savior. He is seeking after you to save you. And he will not stop until you have hardened your heart for the last time. If you harden your heart, you will be like Pharaoh and God has given him up. Listen to me. You have a Savior who loves you, who has come to seek after you, to pursue you, to rescue you, to save you from the danger. And let me tell you, there is a grave danger for all the sheep that have wandered from God. Let me tell you, there is the judgment of God for the sins of man. There is a day of reckoning coming that all men will stand before God and will give an account for the deeds done in this body. He is the one that has given you life. He has sustained your life. He has given you breath. And you will give an account unto him on that day for what you have done in this body and what you have done with the shepherd. which is Jesus. He's a shepherd that seeks until he finds. Lastly, I want you to see this, the salvation. In verse number 5, look at this. And when he has found it. See, when the sheep would get to the dangerous cliff, the sheep would almost be driven by these plants. So the shepherd, when he would find the sheep in this dangerous cliff, he knew that he couldn't get to the sheep because in the sheep was still the will to resist the shepherd and to flee from the shepherd. And if he knew that he came to the sheep at that time and he was not ready to be rescued, the sheep would go into further dangers and many times would fall off the cliff running from the shepherd. So many times, and many commentators have said this, that the shepherds, when they would have a sheep that would be endangered and they would be on the cliff and they know that sheep had strayed from the shepherd would keep watch over the sheep until the sheep got to a point that he was so tired and so exhausted and so worn out that he would almost collapse on the side of a cliff because the sheep had no sustainment anymore. And when the sheep was willing to collapse and give up and lay down, that is when the shepherd could rescue it. When the sheep had given up, the shepherd would come and rescue it. See, you might be going through the brokenness of a marriage. You may be going through the brokenness of financial pressures. You may be going through all of these things, and let me tell you why. God uses these things because he is a shepherd that is seeking a relationship with you. And you can't be strong. You can't just resist and I'm just going to keep going. Let me tell you something. You're in danger. And there is a shepherd that is pursuing you in his love that wants to have a relationship with you. And these things in life will continue to come until a point where you either give up or you run to a point of death. For the wages of sin is death. You have a shepherd, a savior, who's going to seek you unto the point of death. I love this part. So when the sheep would just be overwhelmed and just say he doesn't have any strength and he gives up, this is the best part. That is when the shepherd reaches down and picks up the sheep. When your strength and your will is gone, when you're broken over the mirage of this world, you realize you have left the shepherd for the things of this world and you have found no joy, no fulfillment, and then you come to a place of brokenness in your life. That is when the shepherd steps in and rescues the sheep. And you know what I like best about it? This is just a message of grace in this passage. He says in verse number 5, and when he has found it, or when he finds it, he picks it up. And this is showing the weakness of the sheep here. What does he do? Does he pick the sheep up and say, you know, keep going in your own strength. Keep going that way back to the flock. I love this. He picks the sheep up. He puts the sheep on his shoulders. And he takes the sheep home. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of religions out there that will tell you you have to be a good person or you have to do a lot of things to earn eternal life or to go to heaven. You don't have to do a thing. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm sure the moment that sheep was worn out, was tired, just looked up and just in its weak cry, and then he's seen the seeking shepherd's face reaching down in love for this sheep, and all of a sudden that sheep didn't even have strength to move, yet the strong hand of God himself reaches down and he saves the sheep and he puts the sheep on his back and he carries the sheep home. You don't have to be a good person to earn salvation. That's not Jesus plus being a moral person. No, it's all Jesus. Salvation is of the Lord. It's nothing to do with you. It's not you being a good person. It's all about a merciful God who reached down and saved a sinful man. It has nothing to do with you. So when he saves the sheep, he takes it home. Do you know you and me, those that have called upon the name of the Lord to save us? Our salvation, our inheritance in heaven is not dependent upon our power. It's dependent upon the power of the shepherd, a power of God. God is the one that secures us until the day of redemption. He's the one that keeps us. He is the one that guarantees our inheritance when we stand before God one day. You know what happens? Now, I don't know how this works in shepherding terms. Now, if they, the 99, knew about the one being rescued, I bet you these 99 started having a good old time, didn't they? Did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, he was the town drunk. Yeah, he was a miserable man. Can I tell you something? The moment when I came to Christ, it was a shock to many of my friends and those in the community. You know why? I was a man that ran the furthest from God, one that visited all the bars. I was a man that wanted nothing to do with God. Yet when I came to the place of absolute brokenness, I only had one way to look, and it was to God. And I like this verse because I could just imagine the 99 and all the heaven rejoicing over the one sinner that comes to repentance. I'm telling you that when a person comes to repentance and faith in Christ, all of heaven rejoices. It's going to be a glorious day when we stand with the redeemed. Could you imagine nation upon nation, millions upon millions upon millions, singing worthy is the Lamb when we gather around his throne? What a sight of rejoicing that will be. But can I tell you, friends, there is two sheep. There's the lost, and there's the found. He knows which one's lost and which one's found. And if you're lost, you have a shepherd that is seeking after you that will not stop until he finds you. Now, some of you will resist. In a crowd this size, there's going to be some people in here that will spend an eternity in the lake of fire paying for the judgment of their sins. There's some people in here that will. It's not because we're better than them or that we think we have it put together. No. All it is there were some sheep that cried out for help, that cried out for a savior, that cried out for a shepherd. That's the only difference between the sheep. Now, which one are you? If you just for a moment bow your heads, close your eyes for just one moment, I want to ask you a quick question. If it all ended today, if it all ended and you stood in front of God, you and God, would he be your savior? Shepherd, your king, your Lord? Or would you have to say, I was a sheep that ran. I was a sheep that resisted. Let me tell you something. There is a shepherd who is willing to save you today. He offers you salvation. He offers you forgiveness of sins. He offers to take you home to heaven one day. All he wants from you is to call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to save you. As if there is anyone in here, I'll just give you a moment. If you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor James, if I died today, I don't know if I would go to heaven. I don't know if there's a place or a place in heaven for me. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know where I will spend eternity. Would you slip up your hand if that's you this morning? Say, Pastor James, I don't know. If there's someone in here that desires to say, Pastor James, I don't know, but I would like to know and I would like to learn from the Bible how to be saved, would you just come see me or come forward during the service and I'll take some time with you this morning and show you from the scriptures how you can be saved and how you can know the Lord as your shepherd. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Father, we thank you that you're the good shepherd that seeks after us until you find us. Father, I pray at this time of invitation that you would work in the hearts. Father, that you would take your word and plant it deep in the hearts. And Father, draw people unto yourself. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.